and welcome to Ask Me About K-Pop, the essential guide for recent conference and season fans alike. My name is Shannon.
And I'm Angelica.
And welcome to the show. Did everybody enjoy the weekly surprise last week?
It was so unexpected.
I know. We just like dropped an episode on an extra week with a whole girl group on it and y'all had no idea. Wasn't that so fun of us?
There's always new and exciting things happening over here.
Yes, but it was a great time. They were so sweet and so cute. And thanks to all of the like truly wonderful dailies that have like been reacting so positively to the interview. One of the YouTube comments said that one of our videos was like the nicest and most feel-good weekly content they'd seen in a long time. And I was like,
what an honor.
I'm so happy.
That's exactly what we love to make. We love to make. It's like for the fans, by the fans. So If you had a great time watching and listening to it, just know we had a great time making it.
We really did.
And this is another extra special for the fans, by the fans guest episode. And we are so excited and honored to bring this one to you too.
Yes, we had another really exciting, fun, cool interview. The blessings just rained down on Ask Me About K-Pop.
We start the year strong.
So today we're going to be talking to an absolutely incredible creator of so much of the K-pop that we love. We got to talk to Chick Bell this week.
Absolutely. She is definitely, without a doubt, a cornerstone of the like modern K-pop scene. Would not have some of the sounds of K-pop today without her. We definitely wouldn't have some of the groups we love the most without her. And it was so exciting to meet her because she may be a name you are not familiar with, but you are absolutely familiar with her discography. So please allow us to introduce you to her before we hear from her herself.
Yes, please.
Chick Bell is a multi-platinum songwriter and full-time recording artist. She was born and raised here in the U.S., and at 24 years old, Chick signed with Harvey Mason Jr., where she worked under Rodney Jerkins. Harvey Mason Jr. is a U.S. songwriter and producer, and he is currently the CEO of the Recording Academy. And Rodney Jerkins, whose stage name is Dark Child, is also a U.S. producer, rapper, and songwriter. And just to give a little bit of context for both of these names, Harvey Mason Jr. himself has an absolutely insane discography. He has worked with artists from Aretha Franklin to Michael Jackson, Elton John. He produces music for TV and movies like Dreamgirls and the cartoon Sing.
Amazing.
Yeah, which is so great. That's one of my favorite movies, to be honest. It's such a feel good. But he also has a huge variety of K-pop credits, including Camo by Bo, over 5 EXO and EXO CBX tracks, Girls' Generation, NCT, as well as NCT 127, SHINee, and even shows like Produce 101. So he's definitely a veteran when it comes to the K-pop game as well. And then for Rodney Jerkins, he is a Grammy Award winner. He's produced for Whitney Houston, Brandy, Destiny's Child, Beyonce, Lady Gaga, so many more. And he also has multiple K-pop credits under his belt, including solo artist 7, Baekhyun, and NCT 127. So almost immediately after signing with Harvey Mason Jr., Chick had the opportunity to attend a 10-day songwriting camp in South Korea. But we are going to let her tell us all about that from here.
And it's a crazy story. I can't wait for you all to hear it. But some stats and facts right up top. Chick has over 30 individual song credits on Melon, which is the Korean like music catalog that I use so often on this show to like look up writers and producers and stuff, as well as like Genius, which is another like lyric songwriting website. She has multiple number one hits. I think she tells us exactly how many somewhere in the interview. Stay tuned.
Yeah, if I remember correctly, it was 17, but I didn't want to go through and count them. I would have had to look up each individual song, and I was like, you know what? She tells us.
I think she tells us. And a comprehensive list of all of the K-pop under her belt, because why not? And we did put all of these songs in a playlist, so get ready for that. But under SM, we have songs for aespa, BoA, Eunhyuk from Super Junior, EXO, Girls' Generation, Hyo from Girls' Generation, NCT, NCT 127, Red Velvet, SHINee, Super Junior, D&E, and my queen, Taeyeon.
Amazing.
And then not SM songs, we've got One the Nine, Cherry Bullet, Iris, Nomad, P1 Harmony, SF9, and Weeki Meeki.
Seriously, so many of our personal favorites.
It's wild.
So fun. Like when we saw her discography and learned that she was essentially like one of the, I don't want to put like a specific label, but like an incredibly prolific SM writer in particular, we were over the moon.
Over the moon. So Chick is currently promoting a newly released album of original demo versions of some of her biggest K-pop tracks. And again, she'll tell you all about it in a second. We're so excited for that to come out and to hear it because I'm so fascinated. I can't wait to hear all of the demos. So without further ado, because I'm too excited and she says so much more than we ever could, let's go to our interview with Chick right now. Please welcome to the podcast, Chick!
Yay! Thank you so much for being here.
Oh my gosh, it's such a pleasure to be here. I'm so excited.
We are so excited to talk to you. And so jumping right in, the most important question that all guests have asked me about K-pop must answer first is, what is your K-pop origin story?
Ah, it's so good. It's like X-Men origins, right? You find
right?
These are the X-Men of K-pop, though. X-Men. Okay, my X-Men story, my origin story. So, 2013. At this point, I was doing a lot of U.S. records, and I was with like the Chris Brown team for a very long time, and I learned a lot going into that camp. And around that time, we met some other people, me and my mom, who was managing me at the time. And we ran into Harvey Mason Jr. and Damon Thomas of The Underdogs. Go to the studio, and they're like, hey, can you go write a song? We just want to see how good you are, pretty much. And, you know, this was kind of the way back in 2013. And I was like, yeah, I was super nervous because it's like living legends in the studio, you guys. I mean, you got like J.Q. Smith, Beyonce's writers, and the guy who wrote like Destiny's Child's Bills, Sean Daniels. It's just crazy in here.
And so
here
just I am, like, go show little, us what you can do.
And they all like walk in when I'm done and they're like, go ahead and push play. And I'm like, oh my gosh. And they end up calling Harvey and they must have told him, hey, this girl's really good. So Harvey calls me back in the studio and less than 2 weeks later, he's inviting me to South Korea. And I'm like, what's in South Korea? And he's like, K-pop. I'm like, what is K-pop? It's just like, he's like, it's Korean pop. And I was like, I'm black though. Do you know that I'm black or is this like a thing? And he's like, no, like it has a lot of R&B and pop influence. I was like, and he was like, and they're going to feed us. I was like, cool, I'll come. You should have just really led with the food though.
That's actually all I needed to know.
It's really, you could have just left it there and we would have been already on the plane. So I get there and they do indeed feed me. But also like I write, they do this presentation for us, like showing us Girls' Generation. And I'm like, that's a lot of girls in one group. I'm like, do y'all mean to have all of them? And they're like, oh yeah, like this is the way. And I'm like, oh. And I start writing. We were there for about a week. And that specific camp, I wrote Mr. Mr. and Overdose by EXO. So Mr. Mr. by Girls' Generation and Overdose by EXO. So to say the least, like I was a natural, but even over time, I still had to skill it and get better and perfect the craft of it. But it just was something that was already in me. And so that's how I started.
That's incredible. Amazing. So you truly had like no familiarity before you went into that. Like
I had a little bit of Far East Movement.
Okay.
Y'all remember, I actually sang with them at a session like years before then, but they were really the only Asian group that I knew. I think SHINee might have come up in a couple sessions, but in my mind, it was an anime show. It wasn't like a boy group. Now that I think back, I'm like, no, that was a boy group. Mm-hmm. That's crazy. But no, I never written for it or listened to it.
Wow. That's wild. It's so cool that you like, without having that sort of firsthand, like, okay, I'm going to listen to, you know, what's hot in K-pop right now and then write something. It's like, I'm just going to write a song. And then it just happens to fit so perfectly into it. It's like you were made for it.
I think that that is why I was able to stay so innovative. Like, looking back, all of this is hindsight, girls. Like, this isn't like, I want to be innovative and take and pioneer. No, it was in the moment. I didn't know. So I really was doing what I felt. And those songs started to take on a sound. And then it became a sound. It didn't start with me trying to chase a sound. It started with me just being the sound.
Yeah. That's so cool.
Very poetic.
And then it was just like a sound that SM was like, you know what? Yeah, that's what we like. That's the sound we're looking for.
That's what we like.
Yeah.
And they ran with it. And I'm so grateful. You know, I don't think I thank SM enough for believing in it, you know, because ultimately they pull the trigger. They say, okay, let's do this. It is my talent, but it's also their belief. So, like, shout out to SM Entertainment right now for taking a chance on the kid.
Yes. Our next question was going to be, how did you get involved with SM? Because so much of your discography is SM, but you just answered it. So that's amazing. But the next question I have is that our favorite group, our ultimate, most favoritest group in the world is SHINee. And they have a very unique sound to a lot of their songs, and their discography is so, like, varied. So can you tell us about writing for SHINee? And when you wrote a song like Trigger, for example, did you know that was going to be specifically for them? Or what can you tell us about writing for SHINee? We'll take anything.
This is amazing. When we did Trigger, so actually that song was on my second camp ever, and it was just me, Kinsey, and Deez, just the three of us, which was what a way to be introduced to K-pop with those two.
I have shivers, like, thinking about it. Like, not joking. I have goosebumps.
Just like
right now.
Diving in with the legends right away.
Right. There was no room. It was like, let's get to it. And I think what's so cool, like, to just, like, kind of for just a little bit, is they respected what I did so much, and I respected what they did so much, and it made, like, the perfect team. Like, especially back then when international groups were so new to coming over there, it was just really awesome. So shout out to Kinsey and Deez too. I'm just going to be shouting everyone out. But with Trigger, it actually was, the song was pretty much formulated when I got in. So Kinsey's like, hey, I have this idea. The trigger, the bullet trigger, that part wasn't written yet, but the stems and the, like, bones of the verses and the hook were done. And then I came in with the pull the trigger, and then I did all the lyrics, and then I did the whole demo. So that was kind of how Trigger came about, which is really cool. And we did know that it would either have been for EXO or SHINee. Those were the groups at the time. So we knew one of those were going to get it, if anyone, but yeah, one of them.
Because, you know, we know that SM does these, like, songwriting camps, as you've mentioned. And so when you do those camps, do they kind of tell you, like, we need a song for Girls' Generation and SHINee and NCT? Or do they just kind of tell you, like, write and go nuts and then decide where it goes from there?
Oh, no, never the second. Oh, no, 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 no.
Fair enough.
Way too calculated for that. They are way too calculated. Now, is that how I approach it? Absolutely. Is that what they say? Absolutely not. So we actually get full leads, you guys. We get a full breakdown of who's looking, what they're looking for. They want to give us examples. They play songs. We get the whole rundown of what they're looking for. And then it's our job to bring that to life. However, I am very rebellious. Okay. And I definitely do whatever I want. And it's hilarious because we'll sometimes get like a packet, like 10 sheets, and it's the different artists and what they're looking for. I end up writing my lyrics on these pieces of paper. Like, I don't even read the paper. It's like my lyrics. They're like, chick, are you even reading the lead? I'm like, no.
It's
I'm just
going to
do what I feel like the fans want to hear. I don't care.
That's awesome.
Yeah, you guys are my main priority. I feel like, you know, when a fan or when a supporter, when someone who loves you, you know what they want to hear. It's like once you tap into that, like in the spiritual realm, like I can hear what you guys want to hear. Mm-hmm. And I just rather follow that than what's on a piece of paper. It's great. It's great. But for me, I always went against it.
That's awesome. So my next question is kind of the opposite of what we were just talking about, of knowing what fans want and whatever. So we really liked the debut of the girl group Iris, and we saw that you wrote, had a hand in every song on their debut mini. So what is it like shaping a group's debut versus working with an already like established discography?
That's so awesome. So we did not create those songs with them in mind. It was not for them. This was a very specific camp that I went to South Korea and got to work with some really cool guys. And I wrote a lot of songs, and they were like, we want, I think a couple went to like P1 Harmony from this camp, but for the most part, all the songs went to Iris, which was so amazing because I did feel like I was a part of some of EXO's beginning, but not really, because she still had Growl, and that was right. like a whole era of its own. But I really felt like I was a part of that. But Iris is a different type of feeling. And it's really cool to see like where they'll go and what they'll do with it. But even if you've seen recently, when I wrote Wanna Know, that was for another K-pop artist, but it ended up on Iris. So I just think it's very cool to see it grow.
Yeah, that is really absolutely. Neat. That is cool. It's interesting, too, the way that sometimes you don't know where the song is going or like who it's going to. Does that... I guess we kind of already asked this, but like, is that a challenge to just write a song without that direction, even though you kind of ignore the direction SM gives you anyway?
You know what, Angelica? I think for some writers, they would answer that and say, yes, it is difficult. For me, no, because I feel free. And so I actually have a very high ratio of writing a guy's song and ending up on a girl and writing like... I don't know if my girl songs ever ended up on a guy, but I write a lot of guy songs that end up on girls. I just think long as you write a great song, I think if you're a little bit more like meticulous and anal about your writing, then yes, it probably does bother you. But I'm the girl like jumping off the couch and rolling on the floor to get the melody. Like I'm free. And so I love that. Oh, you want it for, give it to whoever you want, long as you give it to somebody. And so I love that. I love being free, knowing that it could go either way.
Well, you have so many incredible, timeless K-pop classics to your name. So many songs on your discography are like all-time favorites of ours. But was the reaction to any of your songs like surprising or overwhelming to you?
Ah, oh, so good. I think Monster still probably holds like the craziest. I think just when we did Overdose, when I did Overdose with Kinsey, I didn't know it would be Overdose. And so this was probably camp 3 or 4. And at this point, Overdose had been out, and they're like, can you give us another Overdose? And we're like, we didn't even know we were giving you Overdose when we gave you Overdose. So it was a lot of pressure. And so for 3 days, we just kept showing up, and we were not getting anything. I was so discouraged. And on the third day, I hit Kinsey up. I was like, hey, I'm not going to come in. I'm just going to stay in the hotel room. I was burnt out. We were staying up late trying to find a song. Mm-hmm. And one of the A&Rs hit me up like, can you please just come in? Can you and Kinsey just push through? So Kinsey was already there because she's just amazing that way. I had to pull myself out of the hotel room like, okay, we'll try again. And at this point, it was like, what if we just don't even try to do Overdose? Let's just do a good song, which is, again, why this is my philosophy, because then Monster came out. And I think once you take that pressure off of you, once you take, I have to make something, like, music is freedom. Music is spiritual. And I think as a songwriter and a creative, we get so in our heads. And even you guys are creatives, you know. I'm sure you get in your head. If we learn to live and just be, I think that is where all the gold lies. And so to see Monster do so well, knowing that it was a push, knowing that I had the breakthrough of what if I just let go, it taught me a very valuable lesson for the rest of my career.
Yeah.
Wow.
And that's also, I think, very like validating to have, you know, that was a struggle to get through that writing process. And then to have the song be such a hit, it's like,
right,
that was worth it, you know?
It was so
worth
it.
If it, that's really cool. If it, just to add to the pile on, like, we tried to avoid being fans of EXO for years and years. Monster was the song that, like, we couldn't deny it anymore, and it changed our fandom life forever. So
we specifically were like, EXO is so, like, their members are changing, their fans are crazy, like, there's so many of them. We refuse. We won't do it. And then Monster came out, and we saw it one time, and we were like, oh, crap. Now we're fans of EXO.
Dang it, thank God. You guys, that is the best story ever. I love that so much.
Never been the same.
Never.
Oh, I love that so much. Isn't that such an awesome story about perseverance?
Yes.
So for now all to of us. Know, like,
for all of us.
For all of us.
You're right. Because being an EXO fan is a struggle.
It requires perseverance.
Man, and EXO is that's my group, okay? Me and Lay.
I tell love everyone, Lay. Like, I'm Lay. Love of my life. Too. Yay.
What do you mean? Love of my life.
Amazing. That's amazing. That's okay, so great. Funny.
Okay. Of all of the songs that you've written for K-pop, are there any personal favorites or songs that are, like, special to your heart that you haven't mentioned yet?
No, that's so crazy. I don't think I've ever... None. There is a song, it's called Stay With Me, but it was originally Boulevard with Iris.
We love that song.
I love that song too. And the original demo is just, I don't know, it's so special, and it's probably the fastest song I've ever written. And it just was so special, and it just came out, and it just felt so good. And to this day, it still holds such a special place in my heart.
That's great. That's so great. Now I'll think of you every time I hear that song.
I know. I got to send you guys the demo. Like, when it was Boulevard, it was really amazing.
I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, we're so excited to hear your demos. Can you tell us a little bit about what you're working on right now?
Yes. So we are going to do a demo album playlist specifically on YouTube. And it's going to be the Greatest Hits Part 1 demos. And I'm just so excited to release them. I feel like you guys have been asking for them for a very long time. And listening back to them and getting ready for this release, I'm just taken back down memory lane. And I'm remembering just the growth and, again, the perseverance, the beauty. I'm missing my friends. I'm missing the camps where we ate good food and walked around the streets of South Korea. And I learned a new language and I met new people. Like, I was a black girl from the hood. Mama moved us out into, like, a better part of town. And I ended up in South Korea writing number one songs. Like, just the journey of it all is so beautiful. And the songs are just, for me, it's so special. And I'm really excited to give you guys the last 10 years of my life.
We're so excited to receive that gift as well. Like, what it is quite an incredible journey. And then to have, like Shannon said, so many classic titles like Mr. Mister, Monster, Overdose, like Kick It, so many, like, and these are just the SM songs. Like, there are so many that are just immediately popular. So to be able to kind of, like, because in K-pop, a lot of times we don't know the songwriters, right? Like, the idols are the ones that we're familiar with. So to kind of put yourself out there and be able to connect the person and the story to the song, it's really cool. Really, really cool. It, like, adds to the whole experience of being a K-pop fan.
And it's such an honor for me, girls, because I've been so separated from you guys. And I've been in the room writing the songs. And in this season, I'm like, no, I want to be with y'all. And I want to talk with y'all. And I want to hear your stories. And it just feels so good to even connect with the fans on my platforms in a new way these last few days. I'm like, oh, this is life. This is life. So thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. Can you please tell everybody where they can find you and all about all of that stuff? So
all of the good stuff on all the platforms. I am under at The Chick Experience, and Chick is C-H-I-K-K. The Chick Experience on everything. And yeah.
Incredible. Thank you so much for being here. Everyone, reach out to The Chick Experience because it's such a wonderful experience to have.
Thank you, ladies.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Oh my God, that was so fun. I was geeking out so hard the entire time that we were talking to her. Like, every name that dropped, every song that dropped out of her mouth, I was like freaking out a little bit more. And the moment where we bonded over being lay biased, dreams. Like, I never meet other lay biased people. Like, that was very exciting for me.
Yes, that was so exciting, like, hearing about not only, because it's interesting to get that insider perspective where, like, we knew already about this practice SM does of having these songwriting camps, right? But I kind of always imagined that as just being, like, you know, getting a bunch of people together, having them write these songs for maybe a week, and then maybe all of those songwriters just kind of go back to their lives, and that's that. But she clearly has had direct experience. Like, it doesn't end there, right? Like, she's gotten to work with the group specifically. And I would have loved, I mean, we could have talked to her for hours, and I would have loved to get even more insight into maybe her producing role, if she has one, or like, how much does she get to see the songwriting process go from, like, when she wrote it to its recording?
Do you go to recording sessions? Mm-hmm. Like, have you ever been there for, like, A&R stuff? Like,
yeah, because she clearly meets the artists. Yes. So it would be cool to learn, like, if we could dig a little bit more without, you know, being like, tell us who's your favorite artist.
Yes. But the answer is Lay, obviously. No, even after we stopped recording, I, like, went and got my Lay doll off the shelf because I had to show her, because I was like, I couldn't believe it. Nobody loves Lay like me, too. I'm still hung up on that part. It was so exciting to me.
It's special to bond over favorites.
But yes, I really wish we could have talked to her so much longer, because I had so many more questions for her. But I don't know, maybe someday we can have her back and pick her brain more.
Absolutely. Or maybe even have her come on the show and just, like, make a playlist of her favorite songs, and we can just, like, go one by one.
That's the dream. Yeah, that's the dream.
That would be incredible. And so, kind of in that vein, we're gonna do something along those lines, in that she has, like she said, and like we have said, like, over 30 individual song credits. She has so many different great songs to her name, and we could only, you know, chat with her about so many of them, but so many of them are near and dear to our hearts. So we want to take some time now, as a sort of extended weekly recommendation section, we're going to shout out a few of our favorite songs by Chick Bell that we didn't necessarily get to chat with her about one-on-one.
Yes. So these are going to be songs that we maybe haven't, I know some of them we have, but songs that we maybe haven't talked about as much as, say, a Monster.
Or an overdose. So that we
can, so that we can give them their time in the sun. And this first one is one I know came up in this artist deep dive, but it still needs another moment. And that is Recollection by BoA. So this song was released in February of 2018 on BoA's mini album One Shot, Two Shot, and it was written by Chick, BoA, Mike Daly, and Mitchell Owens. And I love Recollection so much. The beat of it is just so, I don't know, I don't have, like, words to describe how, like, good the beat of this song is, and that it has that, like, whole guitar solo like bridge towards the end that is crazy. And I always love the way that BoA's voice, like, rings out at the end of all of the little choruses on the, like, and it just, like, stops and, like, hangs there. It's so good.
It's so good. I loved this whole release. And I was trying, as we were, like, as I was listening through, like, all of the different songs by Chick that we love so much, I was trying to think of, like, patterns or trends kind of that I saw. And she really does have an incredible range in the type of song that she writes. But I do think she has a great knack for just writing a, like, oh, such a groovy beat. Like, it's just so, like, thick and, like, gets you into the song right away. Another BoA song by Chick that I also really love is called I Don't Mind. I don't say no. I really, 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 released in December of 2019 off of Boa's Starry Night EP, written by Chick, The Stereotypes, and Max Song. I love this song. It's a little bit of like a jazzier tune than Recollection. Mm-hmm. And I just think that the number of times she says really is fantastic. It makes me giggle every time. And I think this song is so groovy.
It is. It's so good. All of those like horns are so good. And like the vocals are very like, yes. And like sultry and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. It's a good time.
Oh, it's such a good one. Oh, that's all we're going to say. I feel like this whole list is just us going to be like sighing and being like, yes, this one.
Yeah. I mean, literally every single one of these songs is one of our favorite songs. So it's just going to be a whole bunch of, oh, this is so good.
So next up on the list is White Noise by EXO. So this song was released in June of 2016 on the EXO third studio album, X-Act. And it was written by Chick and LDN Noise and Adrian McKinnon. And it's funny that your note is about a live performance, because my thought about this song is that I remember when we had finally given ourselves into EXO after Monster came out. One night we sat at my apartment and we watched EXO Planet 3.
Yep.
And the entire time I was taking notes, because I was like, what are the songs I need to like put on a playlist tomorrow? And White Noise was one of those songs.
It's so good. I cannot listen to this song without thinking of the stage of it. And yeah, my note just is that I showed a live performance of this to Kara, and who we took to Super M, and she was never the same. I 100% included that specific performance in the playlist for this episode. So you're welcome, and also be warned.
Yeah. I love this song. I think my favorite line from this song is the "someone loves you, babe." Like all those are
somebody.
Oh God, oh, yes, it's so good.
Oh, it's so good. I love it. And I loved that EXO was like her group. It was so cute.
Yes,
she was very like protective over them, and I thought that was adorable. Okay, so shout out to another excellent Chick EXO B-side. This is Moonlight. Moonlight is off of the Overdose EP, which was released in May of 2014. It was written by Chick, Harvey Mason Jr., Damon Thomas, and Britt Burton. And this is just a beautiful EXO ballad. I think it perfectly showcases all of their voices. And it's one of my personal favorites because they often, or at least for a while, like they would perform an acoustic version of this song where
Lay and Chanyeol in their little guitars.
Lay and Chanyeol in their little guitars. And one thing that always made me laugh was that there were a couple acoustic versions where Dio is supposed to be sharing his handheld mic with Chanyeol, but he literally forgets when it's Chanyeol's line. And so Chanyeol is just like playing the guitar and like, like trying to get it. It's very fun. But so I absolutely also included an acoustic version of this in our playlist too, because it's the best part about it.
There's also, Suho has a line where he sings the word shower, and he always like makes a whole big thing of that. Oh, all these songs are tied to such specific baby fangirl memories.
It's so special.
All right, next up we have Love is the Way by Red Velvet. This song was released in December of 2019 on the Reva Festival : finale. It was written by Chick, Ryan June, IDR, Nurman Harimbasic, Courtney Woolsey, Charitviken and Reynas.
That's all one name. Charitviken Reynas.
There we go.
With a lot of Scandinavian accents that I do not know how to pronounce.
Every time we have to say Nurmin Harun Basic, I don't know how to say it.
I know we're saying it wrong.
But yes, I love when Red Velvet goes like full old school. Like, I feel like half of their albums have at least one shoebop song on it.
And I talked about this with, I think it was Rocket Punch who put out a song like this. I just love doo-wop K-pop, and I always will. I make no apologies for it.
This song has a really good moment. I want to look up the lyrics so that I don't get it wrong.
Is it the part where the man comes in and says
yes, and he's like,
your heart says no, or your lips say no, yes, but my heart says yes.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. I love that.
It's part. So fun.
All right, next on the list, because the hits just keep coming, we have Trigger by SHINee. This song was released in May of 2015 on their fourth studio album, Odd. It was written by Chick, Kenzie, and Deez. This album we've definitely talked about so many times because it is quintessential in our, like,
and it's perfect.
Favorite SHINee releases. It is perfect. This song in particular, I think, is such a fun... It's a fun aspect of like SHINee's discography, because one of the things I thought was so cool about Chick's story was that she really didn't know anything about K-pop before she went and started writing K-pop, and yet somehow she just like intrinsically knew.
Understood.
Yeah, she understood what K-pop should be. And I think that SHINee, as we've said so many times, is a group that has such a varied sound, but like it's very distinct. Like you hear a song and you're like, yeah, that's a SHINee song. And this is one of those to me.
Yeah. Absolutely, because it has like so much going on. Like the verses are just like they start out, or they have like, you know, just like beautiful R&B singing, and then all of a sudden it gets really scratchy and it's like, come on baby, pull the trigger. And then a harp glissando happens and it goes like right back into "You're my sweet sweetheart." Like,
I love it.
So many things happen in this song.
It just like swings from one side to the other, and like all works somehow in that way that only K-pop can.
Okay, this next one, before I even say it, I can barely contain into words what this song means to me, so I don't know if I'm gonna be able to, but the next song on our list is Why by Taeyeon. So Why was released in June of 2016 on Taeyeon's second EP entitled Why. It was written by Chick, LDN Noize, and Lauren Dyson. And your first note about that this EP feels like a core memory. It's just, I know I talked about it like in the first couple episodes of the show because it was like newer then.
Yeah.
But something about that, we've talked about this before. Like summer 2016, anytime I hear K-pop from summer 2016, I feel so transported in a way that I feel like no K-pop before or since has imprinted on me in a similar way. Mm-hmm. I feel like it was because like I had just moved to LA and life was new and exciting and like all this great music was coming out, and it's just like it's in my soul in a way that I can't describe in words. But I love this song. It's so good. It's so fun. It has so many weird like instruments in it that sound like water and freedom and joy and girl love. Like, I don't even know. And that there's a dance version where she has the cute little letter jacket and dances with Casper, and like, everything about it is so good.
Yeah, it really is. And like the chorus is so soaring and free. And yeah, it just really makes you, especially living in LA and it coming out during the summer, it just felt like the perfect drive down the coast song. And mm-hmm. that's kind of the imagery that I always get when I listen to it. It's
because I literally did do that. Like a time I was driving to Malibu with my friend Adam, I was like, we're listening to this K-pop album. Yep. It will be perfect. And it was. And
it was. Yeah, it was. So moving right along with another Taeyeon track that we both love. This is Siren. I can't hear the siren. This song is off of Taeyeon's INVU album, which was released February of 2022, and it was written by Chick, Mike Daly, Mitchell Owens, and Cole Cohen. And this is, I think, another great example of the way that Chick can just write a song that is so perfect for a particular artist. Mm-hmm. Like everything about this song just screams Taeyeon. And it's wonderful.
It is wonderful because I love that it, something I loved about this song is that the verses are so like low and fast and are like, da-na-na-na-na-na-na-na, like a little like whisper. But then the chorus is like, debut I Taeyeon
so
like ballad.
Grand. Yeah.
I love this song, but this was a cannot listen in the car because there are real police sirens in it and it would always confuse me.
That
any songs
fair.
With real sirens are like, I can't, and because I'll be like, huh? And think there are cops behind me or whatever.
Yep. I do that too.
All right, the last song, even though we could talk about every single one, but we have to cap this somewhere. But the last song we will choose to highlight today is La 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 by Weeky Meeky. So this song was released in February of 2018 off of Weeky Meeky's second EP titled Lucky, and it was written by Chick, Shinhyuk, and Royal Dive. And we love Weeky Meeky, and this song absolutely slaps, and the choreo and their little craft style schoolgirl outfits. And yeah, the choreo, we learned this in our K-pop dance class, and I remember just feeling so... like, it was one of those moments where I was like, oh, like, idols are a different, like, level of human.
Oh, my
God,
yeah.
There are moves in this song that don't look like they should be hard at all. But, like, it is so much harder to move your arms. Like, I don't know. There are moments in this song where, like, they are moving their arms or, like, turning so fast that it doesn't seem like it's fast. But then when you try to make yourself actually turn that fast or move your arm that quickly... it's like so much harder than you think. And we had to like get on the floor.
I was just going to say, there are also parts of this choreography that do look really hard. And spoiler alert, they are really hard. You have to get on the ground and kick your leg in the air and get on the ground in a different way. And then throw
and, like,
your head flash back
dance,
like
flash bend
dance.
Back.
And then one of my favorite parts is when they all get in the line and they're just like, la, la, la.
Yes, and we
la,
leaned
la,
on our little
yeah,
backs.
And they lean, like, and then Doyeon just like, walks and is like flirty behind. Oh my God, she looks so beautiful in this whole thing. I got so I remember when this came out, I loved it so much. The choreo is so fun. The song is such a banger. And I immediately, like, in making this list, went back and watched every single music show performance that existed because they're all so good. Everything about this is great.
It is. It's so great. And yeah, that's the end of our little highlight list. But the point of this whole thing is that we are truly forever grateful to Chick, like, first of all, for coming on our podcast and talking to us. But that's
in a
small
larger,
potatoes.
Yeah, on a much grander scale, we are so thankful to the contribution she has made.
The contributions!
To K-pop. Like, these are incredible songs, personal favorites that we have listened to countless times and get endless joy out of. And to be able to actually face-to-face get a chance to chat with the woman behind all of these hits was so much fun and such a great opportunity. So thank you, Chick, for taking the time to come and let us fangirl over you.
Yes. It was great. It was so interesting to hear about her experience. And I'm still so in awe that she had knew nothing about K-pop, flew to South Korea, and then just like wrote incredible songs. Yeah. Like it's so amazing.
It's unreal.
She's amazing. So everybody check out her demo album when it comes out. Follow her on socials where all the places she plugged. And I just can't wait to see what else comes because she's still at it.
Yeah.
And I know that more classic bangers
are coming our way.
So with that, we'll be right back with a random game. All right, we are back. The random number generator could tell we were on an SM kick today and that we were talking about finally the moment when we were pulled over into the EXO world because, you know, before we gave into EXO, we only knew one member of EXO.
Only one.
And the random number generator said, give him his moment in the sun. And it picked Kai.
The one, the only Kim Jong-un, our open door to K-pop, the one, the only Kai of EXO. We love him.
We do love him. What's not to love?
What is not to love? He is a singer, a model, an actor, a dancer, as we talked about in our EXO deep dive. I believe he is like the dance
and our
lead.
Super intro
as well. I was gonna say I think he's the dance lead and like center or visual of EXO itself.
I think that's correct.
He started out as a member of EXO-K. He's also, as you said, in Super M, and then he debuted as his soloist in November of 2020, and he's released 3 solo EPs so far.
And Kai trained in ballet before he debuted, so he's so very, very graceful. He is someone that people talk a lot about as being, you know, one of the top dancers in all of K-pop. Mm-hmm. And he has the most dangerous, smolderiest, smirkiest little smirk that any hot boy has ever had in the world.
He is.
And it's deadly.
Dangerous. So, so dangerous. He is also stunning, and the fashion world agrees. He is an ambassador for Gucci, for Bobby Brown Cosmetics. He is also a global ambassador for Seoul Fashion Week, just generally.
Period.
Yeah, period. So everybody loves him because he's beautiful and he's talented and he's also adorable.
And Kai went to the military finally in May of last year. And then let me see if I can do some quick calculation. Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. As of the day this episode is released, Kai has 341 days left in the military. So we will get him back. Is it this year or the very beginning of next year? That seems like too many days to be this year.
Well, it's like a whole year's 365. And you said what, like 340?
341.
So yeah. 20 days. No, we could get him within this year. Because that's only like a month less. It's like 11 months.
But it's March already.
Oh, okay. Then maybe the very beginning of this
year.
Yeah,
maybe very beginning of next year. Anyway.
Whatever. It's not that long. It'll be soon enough.
It's not that long. It would have been shorter if he just went sooner. But whatever. You know how I feel about military enlistment. but anyway. In this moment, we will take time and we will go back to Kai's magnificent debut in 2020, which was one of the things I know we talked about
100%
holding us together in that very difficult year.
Oh, yeah.
This was, and it came at the end. It was like, you've been inside for 9 months. Like, need some of this. And I did. And I talk all the time that, like, if I listen to Kai's debut album all the way through, between the second and last song, I will always just burst into tears. Like, something about it, like, stirs me. Yeah. I can't even explain it. But oh my God.
No, I understand.
It was so good.
Yeah, I understand. I have a playlist that I made called Cool But Sad, and I put his whole first EP on it, and it's so good. Every time Stranger comes on, I can't handle it.
Yeah. Yeah. What is the one that gets me?
Ride or Die.
Yes. Okay, thank you. I was like, what's the one that just, like, suddenly makes me cry? Mm-hmm. It's Ride or Die.
Baby, I got you. Ooh.
Yes. Yes. But I'm just weeping for no reason. Okay. So let's watch which is, if somehow you're totally in the dark and don't know what we are speaking of and want to pull up this music video and watch it, the title of this is spelled 3 M's. M is in Michael, and then 1 H. I don't even know when the last time I watched this was, so I'm pretty excited.
I always watch performances of Kai and not, like, the official music video, but I do remember this had a real Blade Runner vibe.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So pull it up if you want to watch it with us, and just press play when I say go. You should be seeing Kai perched atop a city, like the corner of a building, in a glorious two-colored long trench.
That is it.
He looks great.
Yeah. And it's just the back of his head.
Okay. Are we ready?
So ready. And also right. Never ready.
Exactly. All right. 3, 2, 1, go.
Ugh, I love this synthy ass album. Okay. His glittery hair. I mean, I guess it's a do-rag, but it's
just a do-rag, but it's not, like, tied. Chained. It's just, like, on his head. And I always found this outfit so wild because, like, maroon pants, turquoise sweater, like.
But the way sweater is so soft and the pants are, like, velvet and they kind of work. And then he had his little, like, purple tipped mullet and his perfect little tummy.
Oh my God, the cowboy.
The cowboy. I forgot about the cowboy. Oh my God, his little black nails. Ugh, and this choreo that is just body rolls.
And he has this, like, little, like, orchid colored mullet. Yes. It's like a clip in and it's great.
Yeah, it
because
is
it's
great
Kai.
Because it's Kai. He looks so beautiful. Like, the lines in every single one of these outfits is great. Oh, I forgot he was teleporting. That's his power.
Because that's his exo power.
That's his exo power, yeah. That hat is a hat. Look at his little face mesh.
The little, like, net cover.
His little face net.
Yeah. I said. See, I, like, really love this because. Oh, okay. We're at the naked lace trench coat.
Shirtless.
Oh my God, this is incredible.
Shoulder pads.
I wanted to talk about the artistry of. Oh my God,
the
his little
girls.
20s, like, curls.
The pin curls. Oh, and this silly fringe cowboy hat.
Dancing in water in the fringe hat.
Yeah, he did his Studio Chum in that dumb hat. But those gorgeous sculpted lavender curls in that shirtless lace with the shoulder pads. Get out of here.
Get out of here.
Inappropriate.
Okay, I just realized that moment, it's in this, in where him and the girls are going opposite ways on that rock step, and Minos stay the night. They do something kind of similar, and I was like, what does it remind me of? And it was this. Okay, but what I'm trying to say, but I keep getting distracted by these absolutely incredible Kai visuals that are so devastating, is that I loved the like artistry and the whole like concept of his like album concept, visual concept of the album, in that it's like telling a story and giving a vibe by like showing us like floating buildings in a kind of dusty apocalyptic world, but like all it is dancing. Mm-hmm. Like there's no him like running and trying to turn off a bomb or like there's no plot.
Yeah,
but they're giving you so much vibe that you like understand whatever world they're trying to make it take place in. And I really like it.
I totally agree. And I remember that he had released like a, it was just called like film, like a film. Colon Kai or whatever. And it was great. It was like so artsy and so beautiful. And it like really, like you said, like highlighted the concept of the album without, which was very specific and very well thought out and detailed, but didn't include any specific plot or story. And mm-hmm. I like that. I thought it worked so well.
Oh, wow. That was a great random game to get. That made me feel very happy. Oh, Kai.
Yeah. Always good. Always good.
Always good. All right. It is weekly recommendation time. And I know we already recommended a bunch of great chick B-sides that you and title tracks that we wanted to highlight. And go listen to her demo album.
100%.
But also, is there anything else that we want to talk about this week? I know I have a thing or two.
Oh, go right ahead then.
So the first thing I want to say is that Ace is back.
Oh my God. Ace is back. I bought that EP sight unseen.
Just like
songs yep. unheard. I knew Ace was back and I said purchased.
Purchased. So it's so great. It is only four of them because Chan, who they all changed their names, like except for Wow, they all changed their names back to their birth names, mm-hmm. like the stage names in Ace are gone.
Yes.
Just BTW. But the artist formerly known as Chan, whose name is Kang Yu-chan now, he just got out of the military like 2 days before this album came out. So they're like letting him readjust and did not yeah. force him into the comeback, which is nice. But it's only four of them right now. But the album is called My Girl, Colon, My Choice. And it's four songs and then three English versions mm-hmm. of three of the four songs. The main title track is My Girl.
Yeah.
It is super fun K-pop disco, my favorite kind yeah. of K-pop disco. The music video is like a little bit key good and great mm-hmm. plus like more magic. They like yeah. fly in the air. I don't know.
But also, and it's apparently like purposeful, like movie magic, like where yes. they're like, they're flying and then it's like, whoa, they're on harnesses. Like, it's very funny. It's very funny.
And I learned that all of the people in the street at the end of the video where they are floating and mm-hmm. it's revealed that they're stuck in their harnesses, all those people dancing in the street were fans.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
That's so fun. All because it's my choice and that's their yeah, fan. Yeah,
so
name.
All the choices were out there and I love that.
That's so fun.
But it's such a good little EP. Really I wish so badly that it was more songs, but I understand. Maybe when they're five again, mm-hmm. we'll get like a big chunk of them. But I just like the second I pressed play on the music video, I like, it was like all of the memories came back to me of like, of course, like Ace has never done me wrong.
It's so true.
Like, I love Ace, but they did the thing that I wish that all groups would do and go to the military all at once.
Yeah.
So they were gone long enough that like I could shelve them in a different chunk of my brain.
Sure.
But now that they're back, I'm like, oh my God.
Ace.
Of course. Like their voices, their sweet smiles, they the post-military glow up on all of them. Excuse me. Did you see them in that music video? Excuse me?
Yes, I did. They're so precious. They're so precious. Their smiles are so bright. Their vocals are so good. And the dancing is so cute. I love everything about this release. I love it.
I love it. So that's my main recommendation.
I second it.
The other The other thing I was going to talk about, I haven't had a chance to speak on yet, but I just like know that it will be good. And I can't wait to watch it, is that this week TVXQ was on Immortal Songs.
Insane.
So I know that it will be incredible. Yeah. And they had Irene and Solgi like guest for a stage, I think. And then they also did like their own song. I don't know. I haven't watched any of it yet, but I've seen so many people ranting and raving about how incredible it was. And I know that it will be. Amazing. So sight unseen, I will recommend watch TVXQ on Immortal Songs.
Absolutely. Great recommendation.
Thanks.
Don't have to watch it to know it's great.
I just know.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Is there anything else? I know you've been on vacation up in the mountains, so you've been unplugged. Anything? Nah.
No, I have been totally unplugged. I recommend. I second the Ace recommendation because I did purchase that like right before I left on my vacation. And then all of the songs that we recommended by Chick, she truly has nothing but bangers under her belt. And yeah, shout out again to her upcoming upcoming demo album. We're so excited to hear it. And yeah, we hope you enjoyed our interview with Chick Bell.
Yeah, I had a great time. And I will link in the episode description. Like I said, we put every K-pop song from her discography in one Spotify playlist. So you can take it all in at once.
And it's a lot.
And it's a lot and it's all good. Mm-hmm. So that is it for this week. And if you want to tell us that you loved this or tell us anything at all, we are at AMA K-pop Pod on Instagram. You can send us emails to amakpoppod@gmail.com. You can send us little texties or leave us cute voicemails at 181-AMA-KPOP-5. If you want to send us mail, we can get it at P.O. Box 26096, Los Angeles, California, 90026. You can go to our Linktree/AMA K-pop, which will take you straight to that Spotify with all those playlists. It will take you to our YouTube channel where we've got other playlists. You can watch the weekly videos from last week if you haven't, and all kinds of fun stuff on YouTube. You can join the Discord. All that's in the Linktree. And then you can also join our Patreon, patreon.com/AMAKPOP pod for bonus content. As teased last week, I will put up the full video of the weekly interview because they were so kind to give us 3 camera angles of that beautiful interview. And amazing. I will not let it go to waste.
Of course not. It's got to be shared.
So that will be on Patreon, as well as there's so much great stuff on Patreon, audio episodes, video episodes. You can join a special tier and vote and participate in the show. So if you want to support us, go to Patreon. That's all there. And those are all the places. We are going to take a much needed break after so many crazy weeks, and we will go back to our regular schedule and see you
yes.
a week from now, in 2 weeks. Because this has just been so much excitement around here.
I know. We've had a busy, busy couple of weeks.
For sure. And the year just started.
I know. It's only just now March.
But thank you as always for your support and for listening. And we'll see you soon with something else fun. Thanks for tuning in. Love you. Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Jonghyun, you're our inspiration.